Welcome to God and Country Radio, a program that discusses current political, social, economic, prophetic events in the light of Scripture. All history is God's story. I'm your Bible teacher, Pastor Brad Winship. We're moving past the COVID-19 lockdowns and the overreach by government. And now we're moving on to protests and riots. Over the last 3 months, I did a 12-part series on the issues surrounding the coronavirus epidemic. I didn't expect it to be 12 parts. Maybe I'm going to have to do a 12-part series on these protests. But actually, I'm done with grouping these programs into series. It's just getting too confusing and there's no end. Today's program is simply program number 451, YouTube number 123, in the ongoing commentary of these last days that I started 9 years ago. Well, the news this week has morphed from protesting the death of George Floyd to a call to defund the police and now mob control over cities, specifically the city of Seattle. BLM protesters and Antifa have taken over the six-block City Hall area called Capitol Hill in Seattle, and they've called it CHAZ, Capitol Hill Autonomous Zone. They've put up signs, "You're now leaving the United States." The police had to withdraw from that area because they couldn't stop the mobs. Because of social pressure, they were afraid to use any guns or force. The mayor called the police to withdraw from that area, hoping this will de-escalate the problem and be an exercise in trust. How naive. The whole thing is summed up in a video captured from inside the zone, where a zone leader, a rapper, is caught saying that we're the police in this community. Don't threaten me or I'll blow your brains out. It kind of reminds us of George Orwell's Animal Farm. The pigs run the farm out of town and then take over the farm. And the pigs then treat the rest of the animals worse than the farmer ever did. As is often said, the change of government is the joy of fools. And this takeover isn't about true justice. These are evil, violent, ungodly people seeking power for themselves. So there are many issues that can be brought up in regard to these riots. And I'm sure you've heard plenty of political pundits sharing their perspectives. But it's time for us to turn to the Holy Scriptures for some light on this darkness. The biblical book of Judges is the account of ancient Israel's first 400 years. And although we think of the book in terms of the heroes that were called of God to deliver Israel, people like Gideon, Samson, Barak, and Deborah, the book is really an account of Israel's national sins. The whole point of the book is a commentary on man's fallen nature as demonstrated in social national behavior. The whole nation went through cycles of prosperity, sin, decline, revival, prosperity, sin, decline, revival. And this proves man's need for the Messiah and the new birth, because natural, unregenerate men are evil and always destroy the good. The law of Moses, education, the prophets, the priests, the political, social, economic situation could not keep the people right. In the words of John Adams, "Our Constitution was made only for a moral and religious people. It is wholly inadequate to the government of any other." And what was meant by religious back in 1798 was the new birth, conversion to Christianity. And by the way, Adams wrote that letter to the Massachusetts militia. And in that letter, he also wrote that America was not tainted with the behavior that is producing desolation in many parts of the world. Adams was mainly making reference to the French Revolution and the reign of terror that was happening at that time. Adams then said that if the people of America become corrupt and practice iniquity and extravagance while using the language of justice and moderation, and if the people in America practice rioting and laziness while claiming it to be candor, frankness, and sincerity, then this country will be the most miserable habitation in the world. Because, quote, we have no government armed with power capable of contending with human passion, unbridled by morality and religion. Avarice, ambition, revenge, or gallantry, meaning arrogance or cockiness, would break the strongest cords of our Constitution as a whale goes through a net. And then the famous quote, our Constitution was made only for a moral and religious people. It is wholly inadequate to the government of any other. Again, Adams was describing the situation going on in France, where under the guise of justice and sincerity, the people were rioting and fighting one another. And Adams' point was that the only thing preventing that chaos in America was a citizenship committed to the Christian faith and a large born-again population. Adam prophesied what would happen to America if the Christian faith went into decline. Well, that's what's happening in America, and that's the spiritual lesson in this biblical book of Judges. It's all about what happens to a nation when they abandon God for sin, idolatry, immorality, pride. And there's one story in the book that is a commentary on our current situation. The rise of Abimelech. If you don't know this story, you should become acquainted with it because it's included in scripture as an example of national lawlessness and national troublemakers. This is Judges chapter 9. Remember the judge named Gideon who led Israel to defeat the Midianites? Well, after that victory, he became the de facto governor of Israel. He lived in Shechem, the first capital of Israel, not far from Samaria, which would eventually become the capital of northern Israel. Well, Gideon had 70 sons. Gideon was a polygamist. And one son by the name of Abimelech got the people of Shechem to support him over his other 69 brothers. Abimelech paid off, quote, Judges chapter 9, verse 2, worthless and reckless fellows to follow him. Now, I'll get back to that text in a minute, because these are a group of people described often in the Bible. Troublemakers, wicked men, unprincipled men, worthless fellows, scoundrels, rogues. They rise up and they are empowered whenever a nation departs from the Lord. They are the Jacobins in the French Revolution. They are the Bolsheviks in the Russian Revolution. They are the Nazi brown shirts and the SS in 1930s Germany. They are thugs and enforcers. They're Antifa, the looters, the arsons, the rioters in America today. These are the men spoken of in Proverbs 28. When the wicked men rise, men hide themselves. And Proverbs 29, when the wicked increase, transgressions increase. So, the story continues in Judges chapter 9. Abimelech and his followers murder all of his brothers so that he alone could be the king. Abimelech wanted the power and authority, which is the root cause of all social upheaval. Now, one of the brothers escapes, Jotham. And Jotham stood on Mount Gerizim, and he called out to Abimelech a parable. This is the parable of the bramble. You may remember this. The trees wanted a king, so they asked the olive tree, and the olive tree turned them down. Then they asked the fig tree, and the fig tree turned them down. Then they asked the vine, and the vine turned them down. Finally, they asked the bramble, and he accepted. And he said, come take refuge in my shade. Which, of course, the bramble produces no shade, no protection. So Jotham was basically saying that the people of Shechem chose a foolish, wicked man to be in charge. Someone who is just bramble. The story reminds us somewhat of George Washington. After the Revolution, he was offered the position of being America's new king. At that time, everyone thought a country needs a king. But because he was a Christian man, he turned it down. He understood America needed to be ruled by God's law, not by a human king. But Pacermen, the Abimelechs of the world, jump on the opportunity, like many politicians today. Well, what wound up happening to Abimelech is that he ruled from Shechem for 3 years, but the people of Shechem eventually turned on Abimelech and wanted Gaal, the son of Ebed, to deliver them from Abimelech. War broke out. Abimelech burned the city of Shechem to the ground, killing everyone. But at the end of the battle, a woman threw a rock from a tower, hit Abimelech in the head and crushed his skull, and then everyone went home. Judges chapter 9, verse 56. Thus God repaid the wickedness of Abimelech, which he had done to his father in killing his 70 brothers. Also God returned all of the wickedness of the men of Shechem on their heads. The moral of the story, it never ends well. It reminds us of the French Revolution, where the people who started the revolution and the people who sent French royalty to the guillotine were also sent to the guillotine by the more radical members of the revolution. There's no honor among thieves and murderers. Everyone gets their comeuppance, both the radicals, the extreme radicals, and all of their supporters. But here is the important point in the story of Abimelech. These worthless men who supported the chaos and the social unrest, and the people of Shechem who naively went along with them. These wicked men are described in the first chapter of Proverbs. For the sake of being thorough, let me just read this. My son, if sinners entice you, do not consent. If they say, come with us, let us lie in wait for blood. Let us ambush the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them alive like Sheol, even whole as those who go down to the pit. We will find all kinds of precious wealth. We will fill our houses with spoil. Throw in your lot with us. We shall all have one purse. My son, do not walk in the way with them. Keep your feet from their path. For their feet run to evil, and they hasten to shed blood. Indeed, it is useless to spread the baited net in the sight of any bird, but they lie in wait for their own blood. They ambush their own lives. So are the ways of everyone who gains by violence, takes away the life of its possessors. Proverbs chapter 1. I want to teach you what for many of you might be a new biblical word. It's the word son of Belial. Ben, Hebrew for son, and Bel-i-yala for one who is worthless, or one who is a destroyer. It's often translated a wicked one or an evil, ungodly person. The reason Christians today are not familiar with this title, son of Belial, is because modern translations just translated worthless or wicked men, omitting the son designation. But it's a title that's throughout the Bible, and we should become very familiar with it. Moses warns in Deuteronomy chapter 13 that in the future, certain sons of Belial will lead Israel to abandon the true God for false gods. Certain men, the children of Belial, are gone out from among you, and have withdrawn the inhabitants of their city, saying, let us go and serve other gods, which ye have not known. In Judges 19, the homosexuals and the men of the city of Gibeah were called sons of Belial. And they beat down the door. Later, the rest of the tribes of Israel were called to put to death the sons of Belial who were in Gibeah. In 1 Samuel chapter 2, the immoral sons of Eli were called sons of Belial. In 1 Samuel 25, Nabal, the fool, who would not support David, was called a son of Belial. Also in 1 Samuel 20, a son of Belial named Sheba would not support the authority of King David, supported the house of Saul, and started a civil war. In 2 Chronicles 13, a man by the name of Rehoboam, started a coup against Solomon's reign. And the text says that Rehoboam gathered the support of the sons of Belial. And in 1 Kings 21, when Ahab murdered Naboth to take his vineyard, Ahab hired two sons of Belial to make up false testimony against Naboth. So who are these sons of Belial, the sons of a worthless one? Well, in later Jewish literature, it becomes clear that Belial is Satan himself. As in the Dead Sea Scrolls, Belial is described as the leader of the sons of darkness, the angel of darkness. So that when we get to the New Testament, we read the Apostle Paul writing in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, "What concord hath Christ with Belial, or what part hath he that believes with an infidel?" It's clear there that Belial is a reference to Satan. And to call someone the son of Belial in the Jewish culture is the same as Jesus saying to the Jews in the temple, "You are of your father, the devil." It's the same as calling the wicked the sons of darkness, the sons of perdition, the sons of wrath, the sons of lawlessness, who follow the man of lawlessness, the Antichrist. So if you're unsaved, and hence a son of the devil, you need to repent and come to Christ and become one of the children of God. We all need a new soul, a new life, a new identity, a new future. We all need to change kingdoms. So a point that we need to get from this is that the Bible is very clear about calling a spade a spade. The rioters, the baser elements in society, the lawless, the power-hungry, the arrogant, are all sons of Belial, sons of the devil, and we could use a little biblical backbone in this matter. What we have happening in America is the sons and daughters of Belial taking to the streets. They're coming to the support of wickedness in the land. That is the biblical description. And it's not just those who are throwing bricks and starting fires. It's all of their leftist supporters. It's the mayor of Seattle herself who called this lawless taking over of Capitol Hill just a block party, a summer of love. Because intellectuals on the left say these things because they are secular materialists and they don't believe in sin. They don't believe in their own sin. So soon they do not believe in the sin of anyone else. And so they become useful idiots for the sons of Belial. They're naive. They don't know the devil when they see him, nor do they recognize the devil's children. Did you see the pictures of the Black Trans protest in Brooklyn? Supporting and rallying for the wicked immorality of transgenderism? It didn't get much press because BLM is trying to keep its transgender agenda hidden. But there must have been 20 to 30,000 people. The Black transgender activist, Raquel Willis, stood on the deck of the Brooklyn Museum Sunday morning. This was these people's church. And she led the protesters in a chant. "I believe in my power. I believe in your power. I believe in our power. I believe in Black transgender power." These are the sons of Belial. Now, in my YouTube version of this radio program, I will discuss this further. But let me close with one encouraging thought. The sons of Belial always lose. The curse of God is upon them. They will soon self-destruct. They destroy their communities as well as their personal lives. In this sense, we pity them more than being angry with them, because the judgment of God will swiftly come down upon their heads. In 1 Samuel 17, there was one big giant, a son of Belial named Goliath. And he mocked and he taunted the armies of the living God. King Saul and his army were petrified by Goliath. Nobody would go out to fight him except one young boy named David. How was it that David had so much confidence and courage? Because everyone was looking at Goliath, but David was looking at Jehovah God. Everyone was looking at how big and scary Goliath is. David was looking at how big and fearful God is. Do not fear the sons of Belial. Whenever they rise up, whenever they are empowered, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will cast down the wicked in the land. Psalm 52. Why do you boast in evil, O mighty man? The loving kindness of God endures all day long. Your tongue devises destruction. Like a sharp razor, O workers of deceit, you love evil more than good, falsehood more than speaking what is right. You love all the words that devour, O deceitful tongue. But God will break you down forever. He will snatch you up and tear you away from your tent and uproot you from the land of the living. The righteous will see and fear and will laugh at him, saying, behold the man who would not make God his refuge, but trusted in the abundance of his riches and was strong in his evil desires. But as for me, I am like a green olive tree in the house of God. I trust in the loving kindness of God forever and ever. I will give thanks to you forever because you have done it. And I will wait upon your name, for it is good in the presence of your godly ones. And there is also that famous text in Psalm 37. Do not fret because of evildoers. Be not envious toward wrongdoers. For they will wither quickly like the grass and fade like the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and cultivate faithfulness. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret, it only leads to evil doing. For evildoers will be cut off, but those who wait for the Lord will inherit the land. Yet in a little while, and the wicked man will be no more. And you will look carefully for his place, and he will not be there. But the humble will inherit the land, and will delight themselves in abundant prosperity. The wicked plot against the righteous, and gnashes at him with his teeth. The Lord laughs at him, for he sees that his day is coming. Wait for the Lord, keep his way, and he will exalt you to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, you will see it. I have seen a wicked, violent man spreading himself like a luxuriant tree in its native soil. Then he passes away, and lo, he was no more. I sought for him, but he couldn't be found. Mark the blameless man, and behold the upright. For the man of peace will have prosperity, but transgressors will be altogether destroyed. The posterity of the wicked will be cut off, but the salvation of the righteous is from the Lord. He is their strength in times of trouble. The Lord helps them and delivers them. He delivers them from the wicked and saves them because they take refuge in him. You've been listening to God and Country Radio. The website to listen to this program again is godandcountryradio.org. The YouTube channel for the extended program is God and Country Biblical Exposition. From those 2 points, you can contact me with comments, questions, insights. I always love to hear from my listeners. And I hope these programs help you grow in all biblical knowledge, wisdom, and love. Thank you for your support. Let's close in prayer. Father in heaven, we are grateful that we have been delivered from the kingdom of Satan and received the kingdom of Christ. By Jesus Christ and the power of the Spirit, we are no longer sons of Belial, but sons and daughters of Jesus Christ, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, in whose name we pray. Amen.